be in 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So I've done in the past before lessons on life's race. I'm not actually talking, I want to talk about that today. Today is actually going to be talking about the victory of the race. And when you think about sporting events in general, and last week was just the Masters. You know, the person who wins the Masters gets robed with this green jacket. He's victorious. He's the winner. We think about, and coming up next month, there's this Indy 500 race. They're robed with a wreath, and they drink this celebratory milk. Medals get robed with these, Olympics get robed with these medals. And in any type of sporting event, whether it be a World Series, they have a ring that they carry around, something that shows that they are victorious. And I don't want to talk about the victory in itself. I want to talk about what comes out of our victory spiritually in life. And before I give you the title of the lesson, I want us to think about, as we're going through victory in this life, you and I can't dictate the terms of the race. Just like the guy to win the green jacket can't pick the ball up and then walk it to the green and then put it in the hole and say, I only hit the ball once. Or the Indy 500, there's rules to how the car has to be set up. You know, and he can't run half the race and say, I finished on my pace, at my time, and I'll finish the rest later on, but I'm still the winner. There's rules that are followed in any event, sporting event, that's out there. And when you don't abide by those rules, you lose. You don't win the race. You don't win any sporting event if you are deemed as someone who has done something outside of the rules. Now, knowing all that, as we think about being victorious in God's life, I've come up with a set of things that we will receive when we are victorious in this life. It actually comes from a song. It's a mansion, a robe, and a crown. That's what you and I will receive when we're victorious here in this life. And I actually have the lyrics to that song right here, and I like to read it. Because I think it's important for us to recognize really why we're here and why it's so important for us to be victorious. And the song, it goes like this with the lyrics. It says, I'm going to trade my earthly home for a better one. Bright and fair, Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears nor sorrow can be found, and I'll receive my mansion, robe, and crown. The weather there is always fair. There is sunshine day and night. No cold and no rain will fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments. I'll just wrap my robe around when I receive my mansion, robe, and crown. My head is bowed and bloodied now from the work that I've tried to do, but one day I'll be rewarded with the crown so bright and new. I'll wear a smile so bright, for there be no cause for a frown when I receive my mansion, robe, and crown. And then it goes, mansion, robe, and crown, there love always abound. Let me your throne surround, Lord. Please reserve my mansion, robe, and crown. Lord, I want a brand new mansion, robe, and crown, and glory. There I know that peace and love will always abound. Forever let me be among the saved to your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe, and crown. So today, I want us to look at those three items: mansion, robe, and crown. That's the title of our lesson. And the first one is mansion. And it says, you know, from an earthly standpoint, when you think about a mansion, you know, for me, when I see those who have mansion, you know, I think about someone who's wealthy. We are really someone who has everything that they ever need, want, desires. I mean, it's, you know, you think about the greatest type of home you can have. You drive by somebody who has a mansion, you know they've done well. Isn't it ironic, though, that God doesn't just tell, you know, I know the New American Standard will use the term here, we'll read in a moment, as dwelling places. But, you know, that term's deeper than just dwelling places. The New King James Version, or King James itself, uses the term mansion. He wants you to recognize that you're going to have a beautiful home, one that your heart is desiring. You're going to have it. It's going to be yours if you're victorious. And turn over with me to John 14. I usually read out of New American Standard, but I'm going to read out of New King James. John 14. You got to remember here that, you know, the disciples, they're giving up their life in this life. They're spiritually, physically saying that I don't want this life. But there's also some concern that, you know, which it's natural to think that, you know, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm still nervous. I'm still concerned. And Christ gives them some pointed advice to let them know it's going to be okay. Turn with me to John 14 and look at verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where we're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we see here that Jesus is comforting his disciples, letting them know that he's going to go away. They're going to be alone. And he later on tells them that you're going to have a helper as well in this life. But the idea is that I'm going to a place and you're going to meet me there one day. You're going to see me there one day. I'm preparing a place for you. And it's not just a small place. It's a great place. And there's many mansions. There are many dwelling places here for you to be part of. And that's for you and I as well. You know, as we think about the things that could happen to us in this life and the struggles that we have and the nervousness that could come about what could happen to us in this life, Jesus is comforting us, saying that, don't worry about it. I'm the way. And so Jesus is our starting point for understanding what are the rules to become victorious. Jesus is the way for us to follow. He has outlined the rules. And I go to someone who is a race car driver, who's been doing it for 30 years. Let's just say the guy's won every race at this place. I want to follow in this guy's tracks to see which way I'm supposed to go so that I can also win this race one day. That is what Jesus has done for us. He's going to guide us and help us to be victorious. And it starts with another mansion in which there's indwelling within us. Turn over with me to Revelation 21. And here, think about the dwelling, the spiritual dwelling, and this one's an indwelling. Revelation 21. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, and the first things have passed away. So when we look at context here, you know, the tabernacle is where God dwelled. Today, that indwelling, and we can go to Hebrews 10 to look at it deeper, is within you and I. This new Jerusalem is talking about the church. That's you and me. That's where God dwells at today. He dwells within you and me. And because we know the way, Christ has paved it for us, God also has a dwelling place. And so when you think about how we're walking our lives, God should be dwelling in you. God should be the ones taking your steps forward and helping you ultimately become victorious. And so as we think about a mansion and the importance of it, we all need a place to stay when we go to heaven. But God also needs a place to stay while you're here. And he wants that to be within you, and you want to be with him one day in heaven. And that is the whole gist of the end of Revelation here, is that the church is the new kingdom. This church will be remaining forever. And at the end of this life, it's going to be lifted up and just going to shift to the skies. And that's where you and I want to be found victorious, because there are plenty of places there for you and I to live. Now, the second piece of our victory gifts, you might add, or I say actually rewards, is robe. And you think about a robe, you know, it's used for a lot of reasons. You know, I think about a robe as being something that could be used for comfort when you're cold. You know, but as you look at specifically biblical times, robes are often used as royalty, as something, as someone is a victor, as in some cases, that this person is someone to be looked after. And scripturally, when you look at robes, it is a very highly valuable object. And you see at times, and you sometimes when you see things that you don't really connect to it until you study deeper into it, and you read through the scriptures about how people tear their robes. You know, it's not like they had robes, you know, unless you were extremely wealthy, but it's not like they had robes to pass around. You know, so when you tear your robe, you're in a situation where you're upset about something, or you're allowing something to be let go because you're in mourning, or you're having a difficult situation. But when we look at a comforting robe, one that God's going to provide for us, it's our victory. You know, we're going to have comfort in heaven. We're going to have comfort with winning this life. And that's what is great about this spiritual robe that we can read about in the Bible. And there's several examples that we can see and that we really want to understand what our robe should be looking like. Let's turn over with me to Isaiah 61. Starting in verse 4. I'm at 60. It says, "Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called the priest of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portions. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. And all who see them will recognize them, because they are offspring with whom the Lord has blessed." And here's the key verse. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God. And he has clothed me with garments of salvation. And he has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes things sown up in the spring, up so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up upon them before all the nations. And so we see this book of Isaiah. It's really comfort because it's talking about the affliction and how you're going to go. We needed to read prior to really understand the full context of this. But you know, the comfort is that there's going to be affliction that's going to take place. But I want you to know that all that's going to be taken care of. And specifically, I want you to know that I'm going to take care of it if you do something else. And it's really obedience. And we see here that God wants us to be adorned. He's going to adorn us with this robe of righteousness. It's not something that he's just going to throw on anybody. It's somebody who's on that victory path. You know, Jesus he's the way. We're following in his steps. He's giving us a robe of righteousness because we are deserving of it. And look at what it says at the end of verse 10. It says, if a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, he's going to enjoy giving this to us. He's going to be able to see it, and we're going to be able to see and recognize that we're doing what God wants us to do. And at the top of verse 10, it says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God because of the clothing that he's given us, because he has clothed us with our garments of salvation. And I'll pause right here because sometimes when we think about the life that we're living, we are worthy of victory. We are worthy. We also have worthiness in the eyes of God. We should be looking at ourselves and running and going through this life with victory in mind, and also be grateful and worthy that we're doing it. It's you know, I know we need to be humble people, but there is some excitement knowing that we're going to be worthy of these things that God's going to give us. And he wants us to understand that. I want you to be worthy of it. You're doing right. So I'm going to give you a home. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to take care of you. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should be excited for it. And, you know, when we think about just robes in general, and really when you read it through the scriptures, it's really all geared towards our spiritual robe. Now, there's a lot of verses about, you know, we talked about this earlier, you know, about the physical robe, and really had the importance it laid upon in the scriptures in itself. But as we go through and look at the spiritual robe, that has even more importance to us, and it's a huge factor in our lives, because the spiritual robe, even though we're still walking this earth, we should be having a spiritual robe on us right now. God should have already clothed us as if we've gotten that victory, but we're still walking it. We're not worthy of it yet. We still have to complete this journey. And if you turn with me to Revelation 7, you know, when you look at God's people, it's what the robe should look like. Look at verse 9. It says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the Lord, before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And then turn over with me to Revelation 22. Starting in verse 10. And he says to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who've washed their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. So we see two things about these robes in these handful of verses. First, we see that the robes are white. They're pure. So that means they're clean. They're unblemished. They're you're walking around and God can see this spiritual robe on you. You know, he's already clothing you with this. He's comforting you now, even in your physical walk. But then also it's important to recognize that, you know, we've washed our robes with righteousness. We've washed our robes because of the way we're living our life. But you can't get through the gates, though, unless those robes are washed and clean. And outside are those, look at what it says outside the city. It says outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. It says we have to know what that we're going to have on these robes and that they're being comforting for us right now as we're on our walk. And so as we're thinking about victory and the things that we get through victory by being on the path that's been outlined in front of us, a robe is something that we should be thinking about. And the comfort of a robe and what it can do for each and every one of us. But then ultimately, and really the final piece that we all receive, it's a crown. And when we think about a crown, we think of two things, really. The first one is a king. We see Jesus was even had a crown of thorns put on him. But when you think about someone who has a crown, you think of someone who is to be worshipped, to be a leader or to lead a nation. But see, that's not what our crown looks like. Our crown is different in the fact that it shows us that we're the victors, that we're the winner in this life. Just like any race, you get a trophy or a ring, for that matter, in championships, depending on the sport. Each and every one of us who are walking now with the mindset of the mansion in this life and showing our robes as we're following it in line with Jesus, we're going to be victors and end with a crown. Because we're going to be winners in this life. And we should not be upset over that. We should be looking forward to that and thinking about that all the time, about the excitement of winning our crown. And we should know if we're on that path. There's nothing to, you know, sometimes I even go back and I'm like, I want to be so humble about the things in this life, but it's okay to think about this. We need to understand that we're going to be winners and we should be excited about it. And that crown is going to symbolize that. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 9. You know, we read this earlier, but let's look at what I want to look at from the New King James Version this time. First Corinthians 9, going back to the scripture reading. Do you not know that those who run, verse 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do so to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And so the New American Standard uses the term wreath. But actually, it's the crown. And in both cases, it's the reward for your victory. And for us, a crown in this life could symbolize nothing more for us than to be the greatest thing that we could ever do. And there's no trophy, there's no amount of money, nothing worth losing out on if we don't receive that spiritual crown. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. Look at verses 6. All right, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who are appearing." And when we think about this, you know, we should know if we're winning the race or not. You know, it's easy. You think about any baseball game. You know who's winning by the score. A race, you know who's winning by who's in first, by how many laps has been logged. Golf, you know the score by the leaderboard. Soccer, score. You know if you're winning or not. Each and every one of us should know right now whether or not we're going to be victorious in this race. Every one of us. And if there's anything that's causing us to lose, we got to hurry up and change it. Because just like a baseball game, there's only so many innings. Just like life, there's only so many years. And really, hours. You know, it's not years. You know, as we get more and more years, it comes down to days and hours that you count. You know, when you're young, like Chase's age, you kind of can add up the years. But as you get older, it really gets down to the days. Because you think about 10 years. When I was young, I thought 10 years was a long time. Man, 10 years now is not long. It goes by quick. If you add 10 years to your life right now, what is your age? What does it look like? That's a lot to take in. And so we really are counting not years, but days in our life. And when we think about that, we need to make sure that as we're getting towards the end of our lives, and every day is the end of our life, no matter what age you are, that are you victorious? Are you winning the race? Are you going to receive that crown? Because here's the problem, is that, you know, just like a race, you can run out of gas. Just like a race, you can get a flat tire. Just like a race, you can blow a motor. And you may never fix those things. And you never finish the race. And sometimes it may be at the start of the race. It may be during the middle of the race. Sadly, it could be at the end of the race. You know, you asked Dale Earnhardt, who was leading a 3 Daytona 500s on the last lap and lost every one of them. It took him 20 years for him finally to win one. And it was a bird that hit his front on the final turn. A bird hit it and blew his radiator out. Final turn, he ran over something and popped a tire. Next to last lap, someone wrecked him. So it's those type of things that say that this is a guy who was at the end of the race, winning it, had it in the bag, nobody in front, nothing but clean air in sight. But then, just like that, it took him right back down, and he lost the race. You and I could be in that same boat. We don't see anything in sight. So at any moment in our lives, though, we could all of a sudden get a flat tire, hit a dove. Something happened in our life that causes us to go backwards. And we end up losing the race and not victorious. And you don't receive the crown unless you cross the finish line. You know you're doing it. You got your robe. You know you're getting your mansion. You see your crown. You can't get it until you finish. That's the key with this life. That's the key with this to be victorious. And then ultimately, as we go through this, and this is our final verse, and then we'll conclude. 2 Timothy 2. As we go through this, it's so important for us to recognize the rules. 2 Timothy 2. Starting in verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." That's what's important for us to recognize. is that we have to understand the rules. You can't compete in a race if you don't understand what the rules are. It's impossible. It's impossible baseball. If you don't know how to play baseball, how can you compete in a game of baseball? Someone's got to show you the rules. Someone's got to outline what you need to do. Jesus is our outline. He's also our lifeline. But each and every one of us, at the end, if you continue on in this life and you continue with Jesus as the outline, as the guide, as the man in front of you in the car whose tire tracks you're following, you're going to receive the victory. You're going to receive a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And it's imperishable. And at our current life, though, at some point, it's all going to end. And each and every one of us, we're counting down seconds as we move. We got one less second to live. By the time I'm done with this sentence, I've got 5 more seconds left. Less. And so, think about your life. And think about where it's at. And ultimately, whose race are you running in? Is it your race? Or is it God's race? Because the victory is only going to come to those in the life after this one, to those running God's race. He's provided us the rules. He gave us His Son to lead us the way. If there's anything that we can do to help change your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, or if there's anything you need help in any way, please do so as together we stand and as we sing.